This is VOA News by remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. The worldwide death toll from COVID-19 is pacing toward 212 million, with more than 3 million confirmed infections. I should say 212,000 with more than 3 million confirmed infections. In the United States, nearly 57,000 people have died from it, and more than 1 million people have been infected. The White House has released new guidelines aimed at answering criticism that America's coronavirus testing has been too slow. And U.S. President Donald Trump is trying to pivot toward a focus on reopening the nation. The new testing targets would ensure states had enough COVID-19 tests available to sample at least 2.6% of their populations each month. It's a figure already met by a majority of states. Areas that have been hit harder by the virus would be able to test a double that rate or higher. Still, there are doubts from public health experts that the White House new testing targets are sufficient. Restaurants opened up to dine-in patrons in at least three states Monday, and the governor of Texas allowed movie theaters, malls, and eateries to start letting customers trickle into their establishments later this week. Across the country, an ever-changing patchwork of loosening stay-home orders and business restrictions took shape. Texas Governor Greg Abbott outlined a slow reopening of the world's largest economies. In the coronavirus pandemic, restaurants in Tennessee, Georgia, and Alaska's biggest city began opening their doors to dine-in customers with new rules such as temperature checks at the door and logging of customer information for possible contact tracing. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine's first steps toward reopening will require a mask for workers and shoppers as well. And again, in the United States, nearly 57,000 people have died from coronavirus and more than 1 million people have been infected. This is VOA News. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson returned to work on Monday after recovering from the coronavirus and insisted it's too risky to relax the lockdown just yet. Johnson arrived back in Downing Street Sunday to enormous challenges in front of him. The UK's death toll is well over 20,000 and continues to rise. The economy is facing possibly the deepest recession in three centuries, and his party and scientific advisors are divided over how and when to begin easing restrictions. Johnson's government has been criticized for failing to supply all health workers with enough personal protective equipment, and it has a big task ahead in reaching its target of 100,000 tests each day by the end of the month. But Johnson was adamant that better days are ahead. The U.S. Congress is moving ahead on a new coronavirus relief package, but a deepening partisan divide and uncertain scheduling could halt their federal response. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said it might be time to consider a guaranteed income for Americans and insists the next bill must provide aid to state and local governments to pay police, fire, and other frontline heroes. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell counters that his priority is to shield business owners from onerous laws. Leaders announce Congress will return on May 4th, but some lawmakers are being warned full operations may not be able to resume for a whole year. It's still unclear whether something has happened to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, whose prolonged absence from the public eye amid rumors of ill health has sent the outside world scrambling for information. But while there's every reason to closely monitor Kim's health, it's highly unlikely that anything will be confirmed until North Korea itself makes that official. Gathering intelligence on perhaps the world's most secretive, suspicious, and difficult-to-read country is not an easy task. And there's probably nothing North Korea guards more closely than the details of Kim's health, which experts say would only be shared among a handful of members of the top elite. Former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden is already working with the team to plan for his transition in preparation for winning the White House in November, he told donors during a virtual fundraiser on Monday night. Biden said that he has been meeting with former Delaware Senator Ted Kaufman, his longtime aide who was appointed to fill Biden's Senate seat when he was elected vice president, to discuss his transition plans. Kaufman worked on Barack Obama's transition team in 2008 and helped other legislation and author legislation formalizing the presidential transition process. Find more at voanews.com. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, April 28th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Congo Brazzaville's government is criticized for its coronavirus lockdown measures.
Human beings need to eat. They need to survive. Now, the government is not supplying enough food. They're not supplying enough facilities for people to be staying at home.
UNICEF says children are at risk of not being vaccinated because of coronavirus. Kenyan health workers are concerned about their safety on this World Day of Safety and Health at Work. Cameroon's main opposition is not impressed with the government's efforts to slow the spread of COVID-19. And campaigning began yesterday for Burundi's May presidential election.
People of Burundi are determined to make changes in the way this society of ours must be managed. So we hope that the victory is in our side.
Agathon Rwasa is Burundi's main opposition leader, and Togolese at home and abroad marked 60 years of their country's independence yesterday, Monday. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Prominent human rights activist in the Congo Republic is calling on the government to release all political prisoners and non-violent offenders. This as the government in Brazzaville enforces lockdown restrictions to halt the spread of the coronavirus. Joe Washington, president of the Ibina Foundation, a civil society organization in the country, also condemned what he says has been gross human rights violations by the police. The government imposed a 30-day lockdown as part of measures to stop the spread of the disease. Officials have so far confirmed 200 cases with 6 deaths, while 19 have recovered. A Benin president, Joe Washington, tells VOA's Peter Clotty that some citizens don't have enough food and supplies to survive the lockdown.
Well, you got to be looking at it this way. Human beings need to eat. They need to survive. Now, the government is not supplying enough food. They're not supplying enough facilities for people to be staying at home. And we feel that the government needs to understand the way to use the people, the way to make it easy for them. People understand that this illness is a problem, that this disease is a problem, this virus is a problem. But at the end of the day, you need to make it easy for them.
But Joe, the government said it has provided the needs of these citizens during this lockdown in order to help stop the spread of this disease. What is your reaction about that?
Well, how do you determine that people are in need? Everybody is in need. The majority of the people are under poverty. They're all in need. So that is a problem. They gotta do better than that. At the end of the day, they need to provide more than what they're providing. It's not enough. And you can see by the reaction of the people, it's just not enough. And what they're providing is not enough. Give you a little bag of rice and a little bit of oil, cooking oil, and a little bit of a piece of chicken. That's not a way to go, man. They need to provide more. They need to supply sufficient food to every household, and then we'll be talking. And then we'll feel like they're doing a good job. But at the end of the day, we don't expect them to do any good, because remember, this country's been under poverty for so long, and that is really made of mismanagement. They don't run the country well, so at the end of the day, when crises come like this, things like that will happen.
Talking about human rights abuses, when you raise this issue with the authorities, what did they do about the police brutality that Congolese are concerned about?
Well, what we found is that from the early days, it was really bad. Like I said, on the early days, there was some police brutality. But right now, things are getting better because a lot of people have been complaining about it. So now they're changing. They're using what they call gendarmerie, which is another task force. It's another. You have the police, which is another department of the police called gendarmerie. And they're more respectful of the human rights. They're more. They talk a little more, they explain a little bit more the issue. So things have been done because a lot of people have been complaining because you cannot whip people like they're dogs, like they're slaves. Doesn't work that way. People need to be respected. So things are changing on the ground, and that's good for us. That's good to see that.
That was Joe Washington, president of the Ibina Foundation. You are speaking with VOA's Peter Clotty. Amid the coronavirus pandemic, an increasing number of children are at risk of not being vaccinated, especially in countries such as the Democratic Republic of Congo, according to the United Nations Children's Fund. The head of UNICEF's DRC office, Xavier Crispin, spoke to Ricky Stryak about how some parents might avoid going to health centers over worries about coronavirus.
It has been found that in most of the medical center, we have less people coming now because some of them are afraid to come to the health center. One of the reasons is they are afraid of the coronavirus. And also, health workers do not have all the necessary equipment to protect themselves. So according to some sources, not official sources, currently in the city of Kinshasa, there is a decrease in frequentation of center to up to 50%. So, which means that a lot of children are missing vaccination. Already before the coronavirus in DRC, vaccination is a key issue here. More than 55% of children are not vaccinated, are not completely vaccinated in this country.
Specifically, last year, DRC experienced one of the worst measles outbreaks. More than 5,000 deaths were reported. Is there a risk that this comes back, that this resurges amid the coronavirus pandemic?
Yes, we must fear the risk of resurgence of measles. However, with the major immunization effort from last year, where more than 19 million children have been vaccinated against measles, in the response that we have organized, the risk may be less. But there is a lot of challenges. In this country, the health coverage itself is very weak, around 50%, which means that 50% of population have no access to basic health services.
What kind of measures are being taken, especially in places like North Kivu, where there's also been an Ebola outbreak recently, to protect not just children, but also healthcare workers?
Yes, it is very, very important for us to minimize the risk of propagation of disease. This is why currently, in order to ensure essential health service, including routine immunization, we are taking all the measures to adjust the delivery of routine immunization service so that we are ensuring the safety of health workers, of parents, children. So we are very, very much concerned about the situation in the Ebola affected area. This is why we are taking general measures to protect children, but also the health worker, by providing basic equipment to protect themselves, by also giving device for hand washing. And we also organize training for health worker on infection and prevention of disease within health service.
That was Xavier Crispin, Chief of Health for UNICEF's DRC office. He was speaking to Ricky Stryer from Kinshasa. At least 2.8 million people died annually around the world because of work-related diseases, according to a report by the International Labour Organization. The report estimates that about 2.4 million of those deaths are related to occupational diseases. As Maureen Ojiambo reports from Nairobi, workers, especially those in the health sector, have been expressing their concerns regarding their safety at work, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic.
A report by the International Labour Organization indicates that at least 2.4 million people deaths worldwide are related to occupational diseases. The United Nations said that the World Day for Safety and Health at Work will focus on addressing the outbreak of infectious disease at work, and in particular on COVID-19 pandemic, recognizing the challenges governments and employers, workers and the whole world is facing. Anne Thumbi, a nurse and a nominated member of County Assembly in Kenya, who currently work as a nurse in a local hospital, said that at this time, when the country is fighting COVID-19 pandemic, most health workers are at risk and hence need to observe safety.
Today being Occupational Safety Day, I would encourage my colleagues, my healthy workers colleagues, wherever you are in the whole world, keep safe. It is important to know that it is your right as a healthy worker to work in a healthy environment.
With concerns directed to continue rising number of COVID-19 infections in some parts of the world and the ability to sustain declining in others, governments face challenges as they try to combat the COVID-19 pandemic and protect safety and health at work. Ms. Tumbi says most health facilities are facing challenges since people are not informed about the disease and therefore putting the life of health workers at risk.
I want to encourage my colleagues, wherever they are in this whole world, that always remember to keep safe. Have your PPEs on.
Health workers in Kenya have been complaining of lack of enough personal protective equipment. Kenya Medical Practitioners and Dentist Union Secretary General Chibanzi Mwachonda said that the health workers should be protected and need to set up a big facility since COVID-19 cases in Kenya are on the rise.
There's need to set up a big facility beyond what we already have in anticipation of a surge capacity of cases, especially those coming from the slums.
Secretary General Kenya National Union of Nurses Seth Panyako said that however much the health workers are facing challenges, they are managing the disease effectively.
We, the Kenyan nurses, as well as other health workers, we have something to smile about because we are actually managing COVID-19, about our ability to use our education, our experience to manage COVID-19. But when you look at the management of the welfare of the health workers, we have nothing to celebrate about as health workers.
The annual World Day for Safety and Health at Work promotes a prevention of occupational accidents and disease globally. And today, countries worldwide mark this day worried as the deadly pandemic COVID-19 continues to threaten workers' livelihoods. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, April 28th. Candidates in Burundi began campaigning yesterday, Monday, for the country's May 20th presidential, parliamentary, and municipal elections. For the first time, President Pierre Nkurunziza, in power since 2005, is not a candidate for the ruling CNDD-FDD party. There are six opposition candidates, including main opposition leader Agathon Rwasa of the National Council for Liberty, the CNL party. The campaigning is taking place amid the coronavirus pandemic. President Nkurunziza has told Burundians that divine grace will protect them during the pandemic. Agathon Rwasa says the first day of campaigning went well despite some challenges.
That Ngozi was not easy. At some point, there were some landslides that could block the roads. Some other places you could find that the road is half broken. But also we faced another challenge where many, many people would like to participate to that inaugural ceremony, but there was a problem with transport. Nevertheless, we can say, thank Lord, we made it.
As you know, the campaign is started during the coronavirus pandemic. President Nkurunziza has said that divine grace will protect the people of Burundi during this coronavirus crisis. Your comment?
I don't deny the intervention of the Almighty is able to help people face this pandemic, but we must also be aware that we must be taking our precautions so that we don't give the green light to this pandemic to spread. Anybody can have his own position. All what is essential is to know that we are facing it and that we must do whatever is in our capability to make sure that we keep our society safe.
For the first time in many years, President Nkurunziza will not be on the ballot. What are your chances of winning this election?
You know, 15 years under hegemony of CNDD-FDD, people undergoing torture, moral torture, physical torture, disparition, kidnapping, killing. People are fed up with this regime, with this CNDD-FDD. So only what is heard from the CNDD-FDD is just rigging the election. But people of Burundi are determined to make changes in the way this society of ours must be managed. So we hope that the victory is in our side. And all what we wish for Burundians is to make a good election, which may make Burundi recover its position in the concept of the nations, that will make Burundi a nation that is not confused with criminality and whatever is negative, but a country which can inspire hope and which can make strong ties with all its partners, neighbors, and those are from afar.
Agathon Rwasa is presidential candidate of Burundi's main opposition National Council for Liberty Party. He was speaking with us from the capital, Bujumbura. The Cameroon Renaissance Movement, a political party led by Maurice Kamto, says it is not impressed with efforts by the government to stop the spread of the coronavirus. The party says there appears to be no coordinated efforts or citizen education. However, supporters of the ruling party dismissed the criticism, saying this is not the time to score political points. Meanwhile, Bebu Nisak Oliver, spokesperson for the Cameroonian Renaissance Movement, says Maurice Kamto is praising the efforts of Bishop Kilida for his locally manufactured medicine to treat COVID-19 patients. Spokesperson Oliver tells VOA's Peter Clotty that unlike President Paul Biya, the pastor is showing leadership in a time of crisis.
So by praising Bishop Kleda, President-elect Kamto is remembering us and the world that Cameroonian people is desperately in need of help, abandoned by the same person who benefited from the last presidential electoral holdup, as I said, Mr. Biya. Is it a matter of smiling or crying that someone stole the power not to use it at all, but to stay hidden even to the eyes of his relatives and collaborators? Isn't it, I won't say funny, but ironical? So today we have people dying because they don't have access to drugs, to medicine, even to test. The situation is very complicated.
Olivier, is Bishop Kleda's drug effective in the fight against the coronavirus, for which Maurice Kamto, your presidential candidate, is praising him for?
You know, Bishop Kleda has a reputation well established concerning, I will say, traditional cures which are adapted in almost modern process of manufacturing them and surveilling them during the process of creating drugs to help people who are sick. So Bishop Kleda has a very good reputation on it, because from the part of the country he is from, he is in.
But the WHO has cautioned against self-medication and unproven drugs. Some are saying that the use of traditionally unproven drugs could prove deadly against the disease. Is this what your party is supporting?
We have to bear in mind that while people are waiting, you know that in Africa we don't have the means, and it is an international fight. But those who have the powers to release medications at a high level and also at a high speed are not They are even on their own behalf fighting against the COVID inside their own country. Look at America. You see? So it is not a fight where people will be left apart when they say we have a solution. It is a way of saying that it is a collective fight. So whether it is a modern mean or whether it is a traditional means, if we have the proof that it works, we should come together.
Togolese at home and abroad marked 60 years of their country's independence yesterday, Monday, amid the coronavirus pandemic. In February this year, President Faure Gnassingbé was re-elected for his fourth term with 78% of the vote, defeating opposition coalition candidate Abayomi Kojo. Since the election, there has been rumors of division within the opposition coalition that led protests against the government years before the election. Bridget Akuvi Amigambi is coordinator of Togo Debut Europe Coalition. She said some Togolese at home and abroad celebrated the day quietly because of political dissatisfaction and the coronavirus pandemic.
According to what I've noticed starting from yesterday, both from the people I talked to in Togo and abroad, and what I've seen on our social networks. Finally, people are celebrating because it's the 60th anniversary of Togo. At the same time, I feel that people are very sad for different reasons. First, because the hope that came with this independence has been broken. The second reason of that is that because we are also commemorating the 15th anniversary of the killings of 2005, which brought Faure Gnassingbé into power. And since then, impunity is the rule. There has been no justice for the victims of those killings. People are also sad because of the pandemic. Because usually the Independence Day is celebrated by people going to the seaside and celebrating and sharing whatever they have. But with the social distanciation measures, nobody can really gather and celebrate.
Togo had election earlier this year. Is everything peaceful now and back to normal? Politically?
Unfortunately, rigged election is business as usual in Togo, unfortunately. This election of February 2020 is almost the same, even worse than the others that Togo has encountered before, because the results that has been published seems to come from nowhere.
The opposition that led the years of protests prior to the 2020 election was a coalition. We understand there have been some divisions recently in that coalition. Do you know, and what can you share with us?
The coalition that led the protest during 2017 and 18 was in fact set in very precise purposes. And it was mainly to get the constitutional and institutional reforms, and also to fight together to get free and fair elections. And that failed to be a reality because finally the government, Faure Gnassingbé government, locked this coalition into a dialogue as usual. And at the end of the dialogue, he did organize the election by his own, and the opposition parties that were in the coalition didn't participate in that election because it was not free and fair at all.
Bridget Akuvi Amigambi is coordinator of Togo Debut Europe Coalition. She was speaking with us from Paris, France. And that's it for this Tuesday, April 28th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Botti in Washington, saying have a great day.
Make make a difference by honoring ordinary people doing extraordinary things to help one another. VOA encourages you to tell us about everyday people who have shown leadership in your communities during the coronavirus crisis. Submit your nominations to VOA Leaders at voanews.com. Send us your name, phone number, and email, and a VOA reporter will contact you. We're all in this together.